Hi everyone, my name is Flossie Sazan. I'm a first generation Filipino immigrant living in Ireland. So my mom was the one who brought me here, and she's been working as an overseas Filipino worker for more than a decade now. I remember I was kind of excited, but at the same time nervous and scared, because I knew I'd had to leave everything behind me, start over in a foreign country, very far away from home. Had to leave my friends, my family, the things that I get used to. So it was like a really big change for me. But despite of her absence, she still maintained a good relationship with me and my brother, because she constantly called us and provided everything we needed while growing up. My expectations were completely different from what I experienced when I arrived here, because I always thought my mom was living comfortably and enjoying her life to the fullest here, but I was wrong. She worked tirelessly, often picking up part-time jobs on the weekends, such as cleaning, babysitting, and eventually becoming a carer. Moving to Ireland made me realize the extent of my mom's sacrifices to provide us with a comfortable life back home. The respect and gratitude I hold for my mother have grown stronger, inspiring me to succeed in life and provide her as she did for us. This is the reality for millions of Filipino people working abroad. So welcome to The Life of Immigrants, an audio documentary exploring the stories and struggles of OFW workers known as Overseas Filipino Workers working in Ireland. This led me to wonder if other Filipino parents in Ireland face similar challenges and sacrifices as my mom. Many OFWs decide to work abroad to escape the harsh realities of poverty, unemployment, and limited opportunities in their country. It's a decision born out of necessity, driven by economic circumstances. The first person that I get to interview is a Filipino loving mother, Leonida Sanico, who was forced to leave the Philippines at an early age to care for her parents, siblings, and eventually her children.
Hi, I'm Leonida Sanico, 55 years old, living here in the Jacklin County Meath. At the moment, I'm doing private childcare. I am minding 3 children. Anyway, I'm a lone parent. I have 2 children. When I came here 2007, my children is only 2 years old and 3 years old. I have 9 sisters and 5 brothers, so I'm always childminder.
Before working in Ireland, Leonida already spent years as an OFW worker in places like the Middle East and Hong Kong, where conditions were restrictive in order to improve her family's standard of living.
The first time I came abroad is in Middle East. Yeah, I've been working for 4 years. At the time, I think I was 21 years old. Yeah. In Middle East, my employer is sister of the king. So in the house, we are 13 servants. And each servants, they have their own job to do. So myself, I'm minding the 9 rooms. So it means I am the one holding the keys. Then after Saudi, then I moved to Hong Kong. So compare from Saudi to Hong Kong is much, much better. Big salary and open country. And Saudi Arabia is very strict. You cannot go out, and even inside the house, you need to cover your hair. You're not allowed to talk to the man unless your boss asking you. So, and then no day off.
The Philippine Overseas Labor Offices, POLO, reported 4,302 cases of abuse in the Middle East alone in the previous year, 2019. There were 593 cases in Asia and 86 cases in the EU and America combined.
We are shaken by the tragic fate that befell Joanna Daniela de Mapiles. Her story mirrors the misfortune and cruel anguish of a lot other less known Filipino workers who have left their families for income opportunities on foreign land.
Paulo also highlighted contract violations totaling 23,714 cases overall, with the majority occurring in the Middle Eastern countries.
And we are declaring war against the abuse on our Filipino migrant heroes. We are bringing to a higher level the battle against illegal recruitment.
When I was in Middle East, I mean the story that I had heard that some are abused by their employer. If it's not the husband, then the wife doing abusing, like ironing their face, ironing their hands. I don't know why people doing that.
She still managed an optimistic outlook on life regardless of working in a demanding and stressful environment there.
But it's quite happy as well because I feel safe when I was there because no holidays, but the salary wasn't really big enough like in Hong Kong.
Thankfully, Leonida was fortunate to have a fair and respectful employers throughout her time working abroad.
They're all the same because my employer, they all treat me like as a family. And then after that, I came here in Ireland.
In 2019, the Philippine government's data showed around 2.2 million OFWs working overseas. Among them, 3.2% work without formal contract, while 98.6% were employed under contractual agreements.
I applied through agency. I didn't do any training, just complete the requirements like passport and POAA, that's all.
Once her application was processed, she underwent an interview with the agency to match her with a suitable employer, and after passing the interview, her employer provided all the necessary requirements and covered the transportation fees for her to start working for them.
The first time I came in Hong Kong, I think I was 26 years old, and then I was working there for 6 years.
Although she found it difficult to interact with her employers due to the language barrier, they mostly communicated with each other through nonverbal signals like hand gestures and facial expressions.
If they are asking you to do something and you cannot understand, they will get something and show it to you like knife or chopping board.
But they eventually learned how to interact with one another. Not only does she get more flexibility and a higher salary, but her relatives also work there too, providing her with support and company when she takes the time off. It's not uncommon for at least one out of every three Filipino households to have a family member working abroad.
So if I meet them for a few hours or after the chart, that's all, and then I need to go to my part-time job.
In spite of this, Leonida continues to work part-time jobs whenever she can to earn more, which make her an exceptional overseas Filipino worker.
It's not really the same all the time because sometimes I work in the supermarket or cleaning as well.
She seized the opportunity to work in Ireland when her sister offered her a chance to take over her job as a childminder, as her sister decided to return to the Philippines.
So I, of course, grabbed the opportunity. So that's why when I come here, I am a carer. But then after a year, granddad was gone. So I mind three children as well. And I was working 5 years in the family.
Later on, she realized how difficult it is to be away from her children. Therefore, she made a risky decision of bringing them to Ireland, even if it meant losing her current job.
I left them to my mom and my sister, and they're the one minding my two boys until the time came that I brought them here in Ireland.
This development comes with its own set of challenges. Children often grow up in households without one or both parents present, relying on extended family members like aunts and grandparents for care and support. This separation can have profound effects on familial dynamics and a child's development.
I'm so lucky because they approved the application for my two boys. And 2012, I brought them here in Ireland. So 5 years I missed them. I wasn't there beside them, but then we're living happily.
I am one of the many children who have felt the effects of this migration trend. When I was just 1 year old, my mom left to work in Ireland, leaving my dad to raise me and my brother on his own for the next 13 years. During this time, my aunt stepped in to fill in the role of a mother and treated my cousins like my own siblings. I was fortunate to have the opportunity to interview Kent, her elder son, who had a similar upbringing. We talked about his first impression of Ireland when he first arrived here and his experience studying in an Irish school compared to the Philippines.
I first came to Ireland when I was 8 years old.
What was your first impression of Ireland?
I thought Ireland was a nice country. After a few weeks, I've seen that it was always rainy and windy when I went to school. I used to like walk down and I would just be like pushed by the wind because it was just very strong. I first started here as a third grade, but I went down to second grade because I couldn't do mathematics right apparently, so had to be dropped down.
Similarly, upon my arrival here, I had to start over in the first year because they have different education system. Here, we had to study an additional language and choose subjects unlike my home country, where subjects were predetermined.
There was a huge difference, actually, because our second main language was English, which I was very proficient at a very young age.
Did you have to study Irish then?
In here, I had to study Irish when I was primary school because I was still young back then. So if I did actually learn Irish, I'd be very fluent at it. But I did struggle when I had to also learn my main language, English, and another language, which is Irish, which kind of hard for me to study all three altogether.
Can you tell us more about the environment studying in an Irish school?
The environment in the school was very comfortable, and it was a very warm and peaceful place to be in. Everyone was very kind to me because I was different from them.
Feeling a sense of belonging is perhaps one of the most crucial aspects when relocating to a foreign place. It's about feeling that you're no different from anyone else, regardless of where you were born.
It was only me and my brother and another girl who were Asian. So they were very open to us and very friendly, and they invited us in their groups. And the teachers were kind, they helped out a lot when I was struggling with anything, and they were very open and very supportive.
Living in Dublin, my school was more diverse compared to his. Surrounded by people from different nationalities and cultures while adjusting to Irish society initially stressed me out, as I was worried about making friends.
I had no discrimination here when I studied because my school was at the suburbs, so we didn't have that kind of racism typically from Dublin or anything like that, because I know some of my friends who are Filipino who go study in Dublin, and they were faced with racism and a bit of discrimination in their school, which left them out with like different friend groups. But for me, it was totally fine. They were very open and kind.
However, being part of such a diverse community allowed me to connect with other students. Surprisingly, we found common grounds despite our differences, which helped us get along. Kent also spoke with fulfillment about his recent trip to the Philippines.
Actually, it was this year. It was at July 27th. It's been almost 11 years since I came back. So it was very emotional because I have not seen my titas and my titos, which my aunties are uncles. And I was very happy to like meet them again. Same with my cousins.
This make me feel grateful that I get to go home every 4 years, which I thought was long enough.
And I enjoyed every bit of moment of it. And I tried to reminisce the past, like usually where I used to live, like San Rafael and Iloilo, which I used to travel back and forth because my mother wasn't with us. So I would travel to San Rafael with my auntie and live there for like a few months. I usually treated them as two mothers because I would stay with them like for almost 8 years.
I can completely relate to how much I have missed them, as my aunts and uncles also treated me as their daughter and took care of me. Have you ever experienced feelings of insecurity or jealousy towards your cousins because they have a mother? Or have you ever wished that your mom didn't have to leave you and your brother?
I actually didn't really feel like that because my mom would usually come home every once a year, which like I would feel that so much better because like some children don't even see their own mother that much, or like their father. I didn't feel that bad because my aunties felt like mothers to me too, so I didn't mind. I felt like I was being taken care of properly. And also my cousins were like my brothers and sisters too, so I felt very comfortable.
So when you started living here with your mom, did you settle in comfortably?
It was hard to at first because I used to live in a big house, which was very different from where I used to live now, which was a very small compact apartment where we had to share rooms together. Like you didn't get enough space for yourself. But I was also happy that I came to Ireland because I get to stay with my mom, so that's nice.
So you feel like you have no privacy at all?
No, there is no privacy at all. If you want space for yourself and think about something, like you really can't do that, which was very hard for my mentality. So I had to struggle about that, but like I had my family with me, so it was fine.
Are you glad that your mom brought you here?
Yes, I'm happy that my mom brought us here, my brother and I, because it's very hard to find work, and how you study there is also very different from how you study here. There's a ton of requirement to even find a part-time job.
I wholeheartedly agree with him on this point. Securing a decent job in the Philippines without a degree is incredibly challenging.
While I was back there actually on a holiday, I was looking at the requirement to get hired in Dunkin' Donuts, which they even need a specific height for you to be hired, which I was like confused about. It's like, why do you need your height to be a requirement to get hired in Dunkin' Donuts, you know?
Workers back home typically earn around 610 pesos a day, equivalent to 10 euros, significantly less than the average pay here in Ireland. Talking with Kent has shown me how mature he is. Much like his mother, he positively shared his experiences. Undoubtedly, the guidance from his family back home has shaped him into the person he is today. I had the opportunity to delve deeper into the salary and working conditions disparities between Ireland and the Philippines with Marietta Palban, who, like Leonida, works as a childminder.
When I started childminding, it was an easy switch to healthcare because it is almost the same kind of job because it deals with people, it deals with kids. Working as a childminder, one thing there, it's easy for me because I have three kids. So helping raising the kids, taking care of the kids, it's just like being a mom. So it's an easy job. I don't have to do other courses or, you know, learning.
Is there a requirement that you need to work as a childminder?
There are credentials. I mean, like childminders, they require FITAC level 5. I have a degree in education, the Philippines. I think that's one of the reasons why they accepted me for the job, because in later years of the child, I could be a help for the homework-wise.
Marietta mainly get jobs through recommendations from friends and acquaintances. Therefore, it was easier for her to find jobs, although her good credentials back her up as well. I also asked her if she encountered any unfair treatment at work.
It was more of like because I was the only foreigner in the place and maybe undermining me as the only non-national. Sometimes they pick on me for a more low job, but nah, I don't allow anybody to do that to me.
So sometimes you felt like they underestimated you because you are not Irish?
Yeah, that's the thing. But with my case, I went straight to the owner of the business and, you know, discuss everything. And it was sorted straight away. Yeah, it's a matter of knowing your rights and you being right.
So do you think that there's a difference between working and living here in Ireland and the Philippines?
There is. But then it depends on how you look, your own perspective. When we work in Ireland, I think the financial side is a little bit okay. I mean, like, it's easier. The way the workers are handled here, I think they're doing good. The other thing that I said good in Ireland is working condition. And another thing as well is our holidays. They always give us leeways. And then the maternity leave, which has we have 6 months here in Ireland. In the Philippines, it's only 2 months. There's really good in the working condition in Ireland. The healthcare system is better in Ireland. Accessible-wise, it's good. Facilities-wise, it's there and it's free. You know, the Philippines, we cannot expect free everything because of the status of the country. We are still developing. So, yeah, opportunities are bigger here.
How welcoming do you think Irish society is? And have you encountered any difficulties culturally?
To be honest with you, because I've gone to places, I've gone to different countries, I find Irish very welcoming. It's easier to be in Ireland than other countries. I don't know. This is just what I've noticed. When it comes to the culture, there is always be shocking moments because we came from two different countries, two different cultures, practices. So there are culture shocks, but not really big because I find people friendly, you know, and it was easy for us to settle, to be honest.
They are probably similar to us as they're easy to talk to.
Yeah, because this is what I've noticed in Ireland. We have almost the same when it comes to family. That's why I think they have maybe the reunification law, because they're big with family.
According to the Immigrant Council of Ireland, your ability to reunite with family members depend on your legal residency status in the state. EEA nationals, individuals with refugee or subsidiary protection status, a non-European resident with permission to stay in the state may be eligible for family reunification with certain family members.
The reason we came to Ireland, it was because my husband came here first. And then because of the reunification law, my husband was able to bring us together.
I came here in 2001, so I waited for a year. By 2002, I started the application, and then I got the result in first month of 2003. So I got all the papers done and got the visa for them. They came in May 2003.
At the time, what requirements are they asking before you apply for reunification?
As long as you have a job here, I think that's the only requirements that they ask me for.
Like as a proof that
you're able to support them. Yeah.
Ricky already had relatives here before they moved to Ireland, which helped him to get his job as a carer.
Now, I'm a bus driver in Dublin Bus, 17 years now in the job. I'm marked in on the Zone 4 route, which means it's the 46A and the 155. It goes from Phoenix Park to Dunleary, and the 155 goes from IKEA to Bray, and vice versa.
Does the bus that you drive change weekly?
No, there's some duties that really half and half. We mean you do a 46A in the first half before your break, and the second half you do a 155, or the other way around as well.
How is it working as a bus driver?
I like it, you know. You meet different people every day, some friendly, some not, some are not. But mostly I enjoy driving, you know, so carrying all these multicultural people every day.
Have you ever had any crazy experiences during your night shifts?
Oh, yeah. Most of the time when I was new in Dublin Bus, I used to work the night link as well. So that's where the crazy people start, you know, when you're bringing them home and they're already intoxicated. And sometimes they just fall asleep on the bus.
I suppose some passengers take the night ride quite literally and end up snoozing until the last stop.
Oh, yeah. I experienced more than that. When you get to the last stop and you shout at them and they don't wake up and they shouted at you. Something like bad words, and then, okay, then I'll bring you back to the garage. Thank you. With passengers, sometimes there are maybe races, but I know how to deal with it, so it's no problem with me.
He also mentioned how Dublin Bus has a diverse workforce, where discriminations or unfair treatment is uncommon.
I'm the first Filipino driver in Dublin Bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in 2007.
I'm sorry, but I forgot to ask, how did you become a bus driver?
I was working in the nursing home, and one night I was reading a paper, and then I went into this job section, and I saw a Dublin Bus page looking for drivers. So by curiosity, I just, you know, sent them the application, and then I was called up. Yeah.
Ricky was not even a stamper at the time, but they still hired him.
And then I got called up by luck.
After hearing the fascinating stories from Marietta and Ricky Palpin about their experiences living in Ireland, I had the opportunity to chat with her son, Vince, who happens to be one of my closest friends from college. He shared his perspective on settling in Ireland.
So, as a kid, you don't really think about it. And I think luckily in the primary school that we were in, it was surprisingly multicultural. I'd say even especially for the early 2000s, because I think it might have also been because of its proximity to the Irish Islamic Center. We had a lot of Muslim kids in our class, and then we had a few immigrant kids in our class from different cultures. And then like over the time primary school, kids from other countries moved into our school as well. So I had other people from like Korea and other places. So surprisingly, and I think luckily for me as a child, I didn't feel too out of place. And you don't really think about it much when you're a kid.
Being an immigrant in Ireland is fascinating to me too. I've noticed how I'm different, yet I also feel myself becoming more like an Irish person as I mature and grow mentally while living here.
By the time secondary school rolled around, I was super accustomed to Irish culture anyway. and talking to Irish people, and there were not, it wasn't as mixed, I'd say, as my primary school, but there was enough that, you know, I could, there were other people. It wasn't just like Irish born, white Irish born lads in the school. So I didn't feel too out of place, but it was definitely in secondary school where I started to notice that there was a difference between, you know, me and the other classmates. It wasn't just, we were all just kids. After you start to notice it, you start to think about it more. And then in college, my course was very multicultural as well. So again, didn't feel out of place, but because I had already I was thinking about it, I've put a lot of thought into what it kind of means. It was a very slow progression where I started to notice that there was this difference, and it's not bad, it's not good, it's just a fact kind of thing. But it is like a fact that makes you different. It's a fact that you have to grapple with and understand. And yeah, like I said, it was a very gradual thing. When you're a young child, especially before you can really form like opinions and like your own like strong sense of personality, you kind of just want to fit in with everyone else. And I remember when I was talking to my sisters about the same thing. So they had a different experience than I had when I was starting off. But when you're a child, you don't really have control over a lot of things. A big example I could use from primary school was like school lunches, because you didn't want to be the odd one out. You didn't want to be, you just wanted to have the same thing as everyone else, just like a sandwich, fruit, or like juice box or something. But obviously my parents, that's not what my parents were making at home. That's not what we had in our pantry, it's not what we had in our fridge.
My experience was the total opposite of Vince's. I found myself complaining to my mom, asking for proper meals for school lunches because I got tired of having sandwiches every day.
So a lot of the time, my mom would, especially I'd say in the early days, before she kind of noticed that it was a thing, she would prepare foods, and she would prepare food like Filipino foods and stuff, and she would pack them in like Tupperwares and stuff. And then having to bring that into school kids would start to notice that your food was different, that you were eating from a different kind of container and stuff.
At first, other students reacted similarly to me, but eventually they started asking for some every time I brought rice and chicken adobo.
And in terms of language, me and my sisters all came here early enough that English wasn't really a problem for us. So I've never had a problem integrating language-wise. But there was an issue growing up where, because I wanted to assimilate better, and because my parents also wanted us to assimilate better, I was speaking English in school, I was speaking with my friends, I was speaking it basically anywhere outside of the house.
I think I was fortunate not to have moved to Ireland at such a young age, because I might have encountered similar challenges.
As a child, you can only, without constant practice, you can only remember so much. And what happened was I didn't notice that I started to lose my native language, which is Bisaya, which is a type of Filipino.
Fortunately, I have a Filipino friend here with whom I can speak both Tagalog and Ilonggo when I'm with my mom.
By the time I became a teenager, I noticed that I could still understand what my parents were saying, but I didn't have the fluency to reply back to them. And when I turned 16, I made the conscious effort to try to get it back. But it was still a hard-fought process, because I wasn't speaking it anywhere except for in the house. And even then, it was only so much. And then very recently, I made an even stronger effort. And I think because I'm older now, because I started taking notes basically mentally when I was 16, I made a really hard push to relearn it. And I'd say I'm almost back to like conversational fluency, but it definitely was like an issue growing up.
What's even more interesting is that Vince's native language is very similar to mine. So whenever we meet up, he would speak Bisaya to me and I would reply in Ilonggo. And somehow we just understood each other perfectly.
The culture, it's been very hard to define which culture is primary for me, because culturally I feel I'm mostly Irish, but originally and for a longer amount of time, I am Filipino. So it has been a very difficult thing to define, and I can't clearly define how much of each I have or I haven't.
I share a similar opinion to Vince, because even though I continue to preserve my culture, I've also started to become assimilated into the Irish culture over the years.
Around the time I turned 16, where I noticed that I was losing or forgetting more of the Filipino side than I would have liked, and it wasn't an intentional thing, it was just, I just wasn't engaging with it as a child and as a preteen. So that's when I started to actively try to relearn the language. I felt myself even just like craving like the foods that I had growing up. I started to just try to learn and take notice of more things. even just from my parents, like.
So how has your parents' relationship impacted you as a first-generation immigrant in the family?
I don't know if it caused difficulties, but there definitely were difficulties growing up in a culture that your parents weren't familiar with or aware of. I feel like up until very recently, it kind of caused this schism, there's this divide in the experiences that I was going through and how much my parents could empathize. Like they could sympathize, but they'd never experienced them themselves. And it just, I'm lucky at least that I had two older sisters that had gone through most of it before I had to. As much as our parents also went through their challenges and their issues when they're younger. And yeah, by having parents that didn't fully understand that, I think there definitely was some difficulties with it.
My mom is quite similar in that regard. She became overprotective of me to the point where I still constantly update her on my whereabouts and whom I'm with just to reassure her. Although I totally understand that it's her way of showing care and concern. This is off topic, but are you planning to stay in Ireland for good?
I feel like most young people in Ireland would give a very similar answer in that it's almost not up to you anymore. How I always like to say it is that I do like Dublin. I love Dublin. I would like to live in Dublin. And no matter how much I love Dublin, Dublin does not like me. Like Dublin doesn't seem to like its young people. It doesn't seem to accommodate for its young people. So yeah, I would like to. Even now, some of my friends have already started moving out of Dublin. Where I am currently, a lot of my friends are finishing or have finished their courses and are looking for full-time employment. And some of them have already started leaving Dublin. Like I have friends that moved out to Germany. I have a friend that moved out to Edinburgh to do her master's. And one of my friends has worked in Canada, is currently working full-time in Liverpool. I would like to stay in Ireland, but it's almost not my choice.
I completely understand his perspective, especially considering that many young people I know are also struggling to find jobs related to their careers these days. What advice or suggestion could you give to future migrants who are still struggling to live here in Ireland?
The biggest thing that helps immigrants in this country are the other immigrants in this country. From my own personal experience, from what I've seen, the best thing that you can do is find a community. And community help can be the most impactful thing in someone's life, especially if they're new here, especially if they don't know the system too much. So like I've been able to help. I've met a lot of people that are new to Dublin, either on like working holiday visas or like study visas that I've met from other countries. And I've been able to inform them of like the level 5 systems, level 6 systems, and how everything in terms of education works. And I've been able to tell them about things like Springboard, which let you do courses for professional sectors. I've been able to tell them about like job opportunities and stuff that they wouldn't have known how to find otherwise. So in terms of organizations, no, but I think the immigrant population in Ireland helping each other is a very good thing. And I think if you can get involved with the community, that can be a huge help to someone.
As this documentary comes to an end, it's evident that the Filipino workers and first-generation Filipinos living in Ireland have faced numerous challenges and achievements. From navigating cultural differences to striving for better opportunities, their resilience and determination shine through. Despite facing challenges, they uphold a resilient and optimistic attitude, drawing strength from their community and support systems. Through their stories, we've glimpsed into the complexities of migration, the pursuit of dreams, and the enduring spirit of resilience and optimism. As they continue to carve their paths in a foreign land, their narratives serve as a testament to the strength of the Filipino diaspora and the power of maintaining a positive outlook in the face of adversity. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Again, this is The Life of Immigrants.